Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast, and sometimes referred to as the Make Trading Great Again show. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me tonight is Vonta Trading's Baba Yaga, as is tradition. And we got Flary back this week. Since it's Memorial Day weekend, I think we're probably just going to let the group decide our topics. And maybe we'll do some good, bad, and ugly. We'll see what kind of time we got. First, anybody want to plug or promote anything?
I don't have anything cool and new. I'd love for people to hang out on every so often when we do the stream on YouTube with Trade Pro Academy. That seems to be bringing out the best in everybody. So we might as well keep doing it.
I caught some of that today. It was awesome.
Yeah,
that show is a good flow too. It's cool.
Vico's fucking, he knows his shit, man. Let's see. I do have something. Okay. So, Thursday, new Humanity of Trading episode will be out. This one's with Andrew, formerly Bigfoot on Twitter. Man, just hell of a conversation with that one. Cleo did a little mini coaching session with them that I think was just phenomenal. And we're probably going to end up doing another full blown just coaching session with me and record that and see how that goes. Check that out. That should be out this Thursday. Yeah. If you want to send us a message or anything, tweet us, financialineft1, join the Discord like you mentioned, or check out the website at bandoftraderspodcast.com. And don't forget, Flary's brother-in-law has got Rare Barrel going on YouTube. You can go check that out too. Want to see all the fancy whiskeys you can't afford? Live vicariously through others.
Price is right when you go over there.
I know, right? All right. Probably not going to do any predictions this week, but we can still check in on them. I think the big one we got going on is the Mavs versus Timberwolves right now. I think they're playing right now even.
Predicted Timberwolves lost, did they?
No. You had them going to the finals. I had the Mavs. Baba had the Cavaliers. And PS, I think, had the Knicks.
Let's go. T-Wolves. Wolfpack.
So one of us will have somebody in the finals.
I like those odds.
All right. Purdue is supposed to be joining us tonight, but he's having a little bit of technical difficulties. But I really do want to kind of dive into his topic, and it was kind of open-ended, so maybe I guess we'll just get to interpret this one ourselves. since he won't be here to kind of explain his thought processes, but the kind of gist of it was what makes a trader successful. And there's a little bit more to that. He was talking about like the ebbs and flows through the wins and the losses, the perpetual cycles of up and down. So what's the filter? What gets you through that? Is it luck? Is it grit? Is it skill? Is it accidental? Or is it all of the above? I mean, just, I guess, however you guys want to handle that. Like, what do you guys think?
I mean, I think it's a mix of all, I think, and that's also what kind of Purdue was alluding to, but So I think it depends on the style of trading that you do too. You know, if you're putting larger position sizes on for, you know, extended periods of time, like swing trading, or, you know, putting a pocket of money into a meme coin or whatever, like there's certain trades that you can make that have a survivorship bias to it. And even like sequences of your setup, just like crushing for a period of time, or even just you, you know, licking your finger, sticking it in the air and getting it right a shit ton of times in a row. I mean, it's pretty wild. Like once you get to a certain point and you put a stretch together, like you can make a lot of money in a stretch. So there is like this survivorship bias piece to it too. So you see a lot of people that have had some success, and you know, it could just be, you know, one part luck, one part like all of the things. But I think at the end of the day, most of the folks that have kind of been around long enough either were blessed to have somebody show them some edge, show them a trade, or, you know, they discovered a trade or an inefficiency that, you know, just happened to work out really well, or had some survivorship bias. Everyone else basically just has to kind of like put their nose to the cutting board and just have grit. I mean, Baba, you and I have had this conversation a bunch. Like, you know, you just can't quit. And I think as long as you can kind of push aside some of the demons slowly, even if you do go broke, you know, I mean, you just like figure out a way to save back up and get back in the streets. You know, again, as long as you're sort of moving forward on that like there is no other option except for figuring this out. Like, I think eventually most can just figure it out. Like there is a path of grit that does lead to survivorship, but you have to work on all of the crap. Cause if you just come back with more money the next time and you haven't sort of improved, whatever right, we want to call that, like, you know, sort of like self-work part. Cause it's usually just like you shit. It's not your edge.
We had that conversation, and I think it was one of the poker games we were playing after the recordings, where you were talking about that, like, the longer you're in this game or trying to do it, the more you realize that, like, it's not the system, it's not the setups, it's you. It's you and your ability to stick to your process.
Yeah, long enough to even get a good feedback loop. Like, I think if you stick to something, like, if you had just have a trade, have a pocket of trades, have something that you do consistently, like I used to say this all the time, draw the same line on your chart in the same way all the time, eventually you'll figure out how the market trades into your line. I don't care how you figured it out, gain, loss, whatever you're doing to draw the line, just do it consistently and learn something. Learn from the losses, learn from the wins, make the wins better, make the losses smaller, all the, you know, whatever the sort of platitude type stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just not quitting. Like, if you just don't quit, and you can take breaks, like you can size down. You know, I mean, I've been on sort of a break for the last several months, you know, but still in the markets every day, still doing something. Yeah. I mean, again, like whether you want to call that grit, but I think there's a huge piece too, like to go back to the survivorship bias piece. Like if you hit a big run or a big trade, like it's hard to then come back and fail, right? Like, yeah, you can lose it all anytime, any amount of money that's in my account on any given day, any amount of money that's in my account on any given day, by the grace of God, there it go. I know what I'm capable of. Like, I know that all of that money can be gone. And so, you know, again, if you build sort of like these structures around things that, you know, make that an impossibility, right? Like you hit a big windfall, you know, some meme coin goes 100x, you know, have 45 winning days in a row, you take some of that money out of the market, you put it in an account somewhere separate from this, and you know, you leave yourself enough to do some damage each day, and if you happen to bust it out, you know, you put more back in. So there is that piece of like, if you can catch, like, and be around long enough to catch that streak, to catch that run, you know, and you stay relatively disciplined, it's pretty hard to get all the way booted out of the game. So, you know, like one part grit, one part survivorship bias, like one part self-work, you know, and like all of that stuff. And I think like it takes a little bit of all of that. Not everybody's journey is the same. Some people just win, right? Some people just like have a great mentor. Some people just are that much smarter. Some people just run an automated system and it just like slowly creeps up money. And so they're like, the journey is different. But I think for most of the people that are in our circles or that, you know, might listen to a show like this, it's probably that grit version mixed with hopefully a little bit of survivorship bias, right? Like,
yeah, I think
you didn't quit before you figured it out. Like, that's sort of right. The like period. You didn't quit before you figured it out.
If you want to figure it out, though, you have to do things consistently, though. Just like you said, like you've got to have
a feedback loop. You have to have
loop. Something that you're doing the same thing, so that way you can change one thing at a time and see how that affects the rest of the process, right? It's one of the things that you learn when you in maintenance, like how to troubleshoot. Like you don't go try to fix three things and hope the problem is going to work. No, you do one thing, turn it back on, see if it works. If it doesn't, then you try another thing, because it's really important to know what the actual fix was, because you need to know how to prevent it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Bob, what do you think about this, man? You you've recently gone through some of those ups and downs.
recently. Maybe a few months ago, a little more downs than ups.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wish we knew what was at the root of this question. Like, what was the core thing? Because if it is just as simple as, like, how do you make it, that's pretty broad. And Tafler is exactly right. Like, if that's the question, how does somebody make it? Generally speaking, you just don't quit before you figure it out.
Yeah.
If the question is around efficient path forward – from where you are to where you want to be, I think there's, you know, a lot more nuance to that discussion and a lot more, I think it gets real specific. I think there's some real specific things, right? But I do think one of the key things for me has been learning as much as possible from things that don't work out.
Mm.
Like when I have a bad day, there was a stretch where I didn't have very often like days where I was frustrated or, you know, I feel like I got fortunate enough to have some streaky, in a good way, real streaky, positive trading. Not stick my finger in there and guess, but there was a couple things I was doing that
right. They
were just really paying well. And so I didn't grow accustomed in the last couple years to like – having to deal with like bad, I mean, I had some bad days. I mean, it's not bad days, but like, I didn't try to really mine anything out of those. And what I realized in like December, January, February, and part of March was any of those days, like I really looked at that as like a real learning opportunity. And I would write about it and think about it and go back and look at the charts and ask myself questions and ask other people questions to just try to, because it's not just random. Like, it's not just, oh, random, there goes $3,000. Oh, whoa, how'd that happen? Like, it's a series of decisions and a series of opportunities that either, obviously, in a scenario like that, weren't navigated well, or is that just part of it? Is that variance reality? And I didn't believe that the variance I was experiencing was reasonable based on various things. And so I wanted to really dig in and, you know, get back to like the basic core things that that I felt were important, and then also finish fine tuning some of the things that were a little loose, the edges were a little frayed. And when I would look at those, you know, tough days or whatever, a lot of times it would be, or the result would be something like that. Like, oh, that's just, I don't really have an answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why didn't I scale here? I don't really have an answer for that. Well, how far should I expect that to go? I didn't really have an answer for that.
Oh, really?
What's going to make me change my mind? I had answers, but not
right.
I had to get brutally honest and be like, I really don't have the quality of answer that is satisfactory, obviously, because look at what I just did today. you know?
Right. There's like a, I can make this work mindset that's like a little bit of a trap, right? Like you kind of get like a grasp of the market or your market or your setup. And then like, you know it, you know what the A plus looks like, you know what like a bad version of it looks like, but you don't like truly, like to your point, like you don't truly know why you do or don't scale here, why you do or don't cut a trade. Like you just kind of feel it,
yep.
Right? And there's like an instinctual like trap that I think we get in when we, especially like when we're in like sort of like the breakout mode of like, whether it's a setup or, you know, again, however you're doing it, where you're like, okay, this is working. So, you know, just keep doing it, but it's not the best version of your mode of work for sure.
So I haven't talked as much about decision fatigue lately, if you notice, Kyle.
I have noticed that, yeah.
Because there's not nearly as many decisions I have to think that much about.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's so good. It,
yeah, because now your exits are pretty much predefined at this point.
It's,
like you've talked a lot about expectancy and done a lot of work.
It's become really, and you know, shout out, you know, to Fleury, you know, moving down the right path, but there was a lot of expediting that process with some of his help when, you know, not even that long ago. And I had done some of that already to some extent, but not, again, it was like, oh, I went far enough down this to know to have decent answers. But if I, at the end of a day where I was like frustrated and things didn't go well, whatever, I'm sitting on the front porch in my rocking chair. Because that's where I go. And I'm thinking to myself, like, in a moment of real honesty, I hadn't done the work. I had done the work far enough to know, oh, this is great. And I'd had results enough to know, oh, yeah. But as things develop and grow and change and you know, your processes change and stuff like that, I really hadn't, you know, done the work I needed to do. And when I just got downright super honest about it, I knew that was the answer. And so the thing about decision fatigue that used to be so annoying was because there was too much flexibility. I had afforded myself too much free judgment to just make decisions. And so then in making a decision to enter a trade long or short or how far to scale or fill in the blank, I would put a ton of pressure on making the right decision. Obviously, you'd like to say the right decision was in accordance with your plan, but when the plan is fuzzy and the expectancy is kind of a squint, then it gets a little bit difficult to, you know, to make 4, 5, 6 of those decisions when you feel like the result of that decision is going to be the result of your day. Like a lot hangs in the balance. So for me now, lately, like a lot of the decisions, there's just not as many to make. So I think that's a big part of it, man, is like, if someone's like, oh, I'm just really struggling. And I would just be like, have you really can you write it down? Like, can you write down what you're looking for? Can you write down what it should pay you? Can you write down, and can you be really brutally honest about that? And I think that honesty with yourself about what you're expecting out of the market versus what you've actually put in to craft this skill is a big like mirror, man in the mirror moment, as Fleury likes to call it. And I don't think it's not, and I would even say, like, when I think about you, Kyle, you had hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and tons of time logged to learning. But I feel like taking all that and sifting it down to what Kyle likes to do with it is really where the work has been for you, is to take all of that and distill it down to, hey, what are your actionable handful of things that you know what's going on with, and how do you do something with it, you know?
And I feel like I'm starting to find that. Like, I found a couple of setups that I really enjoy trading that I can see and recognize, like, instinctually. Like, it doesn't really take a whole lot of... We were looking at the rotations-based setup that I was showing you, and you were asking me, like, do you have to squint to see those? Like, no, that's clear as day to me. Like, yeah. I just look at that chart, I'm like, oh, yep, there it is right there, sell that.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot more of that work that I feel like I still need to do because there's some of those questions you were just mentioning there. I don't feel like I have good answers to those. Yeah. And I've been finding myself dealing with decision fatigue lately.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of the same thing. Like I've given myself a little bit too much freedom of how to enter.
Yeah. And there's part of, I mean, so I made an entry. So this week I had it, you know, it's a good week. I was in the biggest position I've been in since November this past week. And it really was I was confident in it, obviously, but also it was in line with my work enough that I felt like I could pull the trigger. I thought the potential was so full of potential that I felt like I would regret.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually feel like foolish if I didn't lean in. Now, I didn't do it irresponsibly. So while I had, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and whispers it incognito, whispers it. God said, yeah. That's a real weird moment. We were just talking about that sketch earlier. My wife, my wife and my sister. We had dinner with my sister tonight. We were talking about that. Anyways. But I did it within the bounds of what's reasonable. And then, you know, so I won't say that like there's never a place for making a decision. Like I wouldn't say completely rule out ever doing anything outside, you know, of ABC setup all the time. Those moments though should just be so few and far between, and they should really be, you know, and for me, it's still tied in with my work. It was just not during the time I would normally do it. This was a Globex trade the other day. But it was like, dude, this is clean. And I leaned in with full position on the first clip instead of just taking like two. And then I just doubled it. And then I did it again. And then I just proceeded to scale responsibly. My stop, though, the thing is, I never, after the first full position entry, when we moved where I needed us to go, then as I added, my stop floated up. So at that point, this was either going to bang like I think it should, or it'll just be break even, no harm, no foul, pay some commissions. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, in those moments, it's still, there's a measure of high responsibility. And I'm not going to throw on that size in one click. The market's going to have to jump through my hoops. And then as it does what I need it to do, then I can trust it more with more risk. And so the point of that little story is not that I made a big trade. The point of that story is that if you have, I would say, the right high standards that you can hold the market to, then there's no, I mean, then you just do it.
Yeah.
When you hold to those standards though, there are going to be times where you take a stop, and then the market, as it can, then just goes. And then you know, if you have a contingency plan for getting back in or whatever, but I think you take those with the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your work. You're going to lose sometimes. It's just
another data point.
Yeah. It's just sometimes it's going to go. Sometimes it's not. If you are loose with those standards, I think that's where you start to sabotage yourself and you get real vulnerable to doing stupid stuff. Right.
Pretty saying he did something similar today. Says, but you feel it and lean into the winning in the month, year, maker trades you have to take. Yeah.
Like I've been on it. I would trust. And we talked about this, Kyle, like when things are going well, I trust that more because it's not come from a place of like, oh, I need to make something or I need to rescue this week. If you're in a place of strength, you're making that decision from a place of confidence in a place of like good judgment because you have been, you know, performing well. That's when you give yourself maybe the flexibility like to lean into something.
See, but that's like another version of that survivorship bias. It's like the run good bias. It's the, like, I don't even want to call it false confidence. It's just like, you're feeling it.
Yeah.
Like you're in the zone, you're in the pocket, you're winning, you're seeing the market well, you're fearless. Like, you know, again, it's like some version of, you know, confidence that comes from winning that begets more winning. And, you know, again, like that ability to fearlessly lean in but accurately, not just fiercely lean in, but like
fiercely lean in. Yeah, I can fearlessly lean in at the wrong time.
Like correctly, like in your, you know, in your pattern. I mean, that's, you know, again, like whatever you want to call it, survivorship bias, like winner's confidence. Like
Tim Tebow effect.
Dude, it's like you go poker. It's like you win a tournament. Next day you find out.
Yeah, look at Red.
You streak together this like pocket of winning that,
it's just times when everything just lines up.
Is it because your setup just got that much better? You know, maybe is the serendipitous of the market like came together with your idea? Maybe. Or are you just like executing correctly, fearlessly, and confidently? And if you were able to tap into that at most times, you know, would you be able to execute like that all the time?
And I think too, the standard for. So if, you know, the swings of the high, I'm the man, I'm undefeatable, you know, like Mike Tyson moments. And then the like, you know, I couldn't get a trade right if my life depended on it moments, you know, the variant, like that gap between those, I'm constantly trying to pull that in. So another one of the things that I've been key on lately is like sustainability, like I don't really care if I have a good day. I don't really care if I have a good week. I don't care so much if I have a good month. I need to be more focused or continue to focus more as I have been on the longevity.
Yeah. And that's be here tomorrow, and next week.
Exactly. Next tomorrow, next week, 6 months from now, a year from now, the longevity is so important. So if I am quick to go high highs, I can do anything I want, I'm Superman. Or if I'm too quick to go, I'm the worst trader ever, how am I doing this? I think that's a problem. So I really think those moments where you're like, I'm unstoppable, they're probably going to be few and far between, or they need to. And really, we make our living, because like I would have never been in a place to do that had things not been going the way they have been for the last, you know, chunk of time to the positive.
Yeah.
See, but that's another characteristic too. So like, again, like the poker reference, like you have your chips, right? And it's easy to play a bunch of bad hands and, you know, you dwindle away and you lose blinds. And then next thing you know, you're just losing chips, you're bleeding chips, you're bleeding chips. Well, you wake up with pocket aces and you double up. Well, yeah, great. You doubled up four big blinds because you've been fucking off.
Yep.
The last like three quarters of your stack doing dumb shit. And so when you finally get aces and you finally double up, you just double up to a less short stack than you had before. And that's like to your point, Baba, it's like when you're struggling, being able to recognize that you're struggling, or even just like if you can't clearly define your setup, if you're still trying to define your process, if you're still like working on some of these things, preserve some version of the capital. Like you don't need to be in a 50 lot trying to figure out whether or not this, you know, reversion idea is going to work. Right. You know, you can do it in a bunch of different ways. And then, you know, then when you have days like, you know, yesterday, days like today that you can capitalize on, you're leaning into a monster trade with capital that you've preserved. You have a you know, as much of your stack as you can, because you weren't doing dumb stuff, you know, for the last 2 weeks waiting for this 400 point sell off. Like, fine, be a bear. I get it.
Like 7-8 suited.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like you're in there playing all these suited connectors, and you know, you're shorting every single day, and you know, from mid April till you know, yesterday. And you know, fine, short every day, but take your stop, take your 20 points, times however many contracts you trade, and you know, wait till the next setup happens. And then boom. Okay, fine. You're A+. Let's just say yesterday was your A+. Your A+ sets up, and then great. You shorted the all-time highs, and you know, you got a 400 point move on size because you preserved your capital. So like, there's a version of you know, like to sum up all those things, like you need to be able to define what you're doing. You need to be able to lean into it when you see it, and you need to have something to lean into it with, right? So you have to preserve it. You have to have sort of that confidence. And like, I, you know, again, like it all just sort of like finds this like point where eventually it'll all just line up and you'll hit one. But if you don't stick around long enough, if you don't have the answers to these things, if you have no money, you know, or whatever, you don't have a PA or whatever you're doing, it's all for naught, because then you just see a day like today, you know, and it's like, wow, I wish I had, you know, gotten along through this and added and added and added, you know, but instead I was, you know, in some C setup and watch this A setup, you know, that I knew was going to happen, go. And, you know, you have people making weeks and months, and you're on a 3-day weekend going, what the fuck did I just do? And, you know, a lot of that comes from, like, it's a characteristic, right? Like, you need to be able to define it. You need to know how to preserve when it's not going well. You have to preserve your stack. You have to be able to define your setups. Honestly, I think you need to have setups, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whether you want to call it a process or setups, like, you need to have something. Like, Bobby, you were saying, like, you could just, like, open a chart and figure out a trade, right? Like, and I think a lot of people do that, or they hop from strategy to strategy. Like, hang out in something long enough to say whether it fits your personality, whether it fits your style. Do you even like this trade? Do you have time to execute it? Can you confidently execute it? Like, all of these things that sort of lead to these characteristics of a successful trader, or at least like your success. Who cares if it's a characteristic of a successful trader? But I think there's a handful of like these things that we talked about here tonight that if you do, or you're intentionally working on those things, you know, again, like some, what do you call it, a shortcut to success, or, you know, some version of a hack or something like that. Like, it just works.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I think the one of the pieces of the question too is like, we all three of us have, you know, you've got a scar or two, you know, you've got a few battle wounds, you've got the, you know, stories to tell. And I think a lot of people, myself included, at once upon a time thought like, okay, like, yeah, you know, let's say early on, you know, years and years ago, I've had a few really good days. I've had some really good weeks. Like, I still have these hangups every once in a while, but like, that's going to go away. Or like, oh, that'll just take care of itself. Like, I'll just keep leaning into just trying to be around the markets more, trade more. And like, that'll go away. I think it takes a certain amount of like bruises or scars. Like, everybody has to have them.
Yeah.
I actually don't know if there's a way to take someone from, you know, I'm interested in trading and insulate them from all of that and then become the kind of trader that can, you know, be around long term. I think you have to have.
Hold on a second. Flair, you just did something that's preventing the browser from recording. I want you to refresh.
Oh, boy. Pandemonium! We can all do whatever we want.
What happened? I didn't press anything.
Are we still recording? I don't know. It just popped up with a warning and said that you you fucked it up.
I was trying to type in arrays, but I don't know.
It must be Mike's virus that's coming through and infecting the Riverside server.
But yeah, I think that's part of the journey. Like, if this is kind of lame, but like, if you're gonna see the views, you have to climb the mountain. There's no chairlift. There's no ride to the top. People can climb with you. People can be further ahead of you saying, hey, watch out for this. Hey, when you get to this, it's going to be super hard. You might fall off of it. Yeah, you might. Or, hey, when I did that, I fell right. I went right, and it was really hard. I saw someone go left, and that seems like a better path. I'm gonna encourage you to go left at that fork in the trail. But I think there's a measure of it that's just like, is this what you want to do? And are you going? And then I think there's certain parts you just have to go through. I think you just have to persevere through certain parts.
You almost just have to bang your head into a wall enough times before it finally all starts to click. Like, yeah. I feel like for me, there was one of the things that I struggled with early on was dealing with the emotions of a good day and a bad day. A good day felt like I was on top of the world. Nothing could hurt me. And then a bad day is, you know, go hide in bed and under the covers and don't talk to anybody. But it almost feels like going through enough of those events, like it just kind of burns out that emotion center to where it just, it's exhausting to feel like that. I just don't, I'll take my loss. Okay, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
That's where, like, you know, seeing some people chatting about like, oh, you know, you can't just be stats based, blah, 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 or whatever. But like, you have to understand what is like your system. If you're supposed to lose, like there's a lot of people that trade like a high R strategy, right? Mm-hmm. If you're supposed to lose 60% of the time, you have to kind of be prepared for that. Like, and it's not an easy thing. You know, again, like the poker parallel, you play tournaments, man, you just don't win. Like it's hard. You lose more than you win. You lose more than you make the money. Like same with some trading styles, right? And if that's baked into your DNA of your process, of your setup, and you're not comfortable with losing 60% of the time you click the button, that's going to be a major pitfall. Like you said, like you got to kind of get over that hurdle of like, oh, I didn't win today. Like, okay, you didn't win today, but did you take your setup? Like, what was it, your setup, or did you lose because you did something random?
Or did you overlook something?
And, you know, working on those characters. Yeah, or did you over? Yeah, exactly. Was there some filter that you're missing? Oh, shit. Like, you know, we gapped up 400 points and my A plus short isn't an A plus short, you know? Or, you know, it is because NVIDIA tops out or whatever the hell's, you know, what went on yesterday. But you have to be prepared for that. Same thing with the winning, right? Like the expectation of winning, like, is it should be muted. If your strategy only wins, whatever. Yeah, if you're a scalper and you have some like crazy, you know, whatever ICT 92% win rate or whatever, you know, a lot of these things are like the scalping strategies that are like that's got the Apex crew all pissed off. Okay. These guys are coming in with like 90 point stops and like 5 point take profits trying to game the system. Yeah, you're gonna win 95% of the time because you never take a stop. Okay, well, you know, then losing shouldn't be too uncomfortable for you, but when you do lose, it's probably going to be a large chunk, so you have to have money management. But like, fine, if that's your system, have some version of having enough capital. It's like selling options, right? Like you can sell premium all day long until it blows up in your face, right? Like
until you sell a covered straddle on Pan W the last earnings cycle and it drops $90.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, but again, it's like plan for that. If you know that that's like what most of your days feel like emotionally, you should be able to some extent like to detach yourself from it. Easier said than done. But again, it's like it's part of like we're talking characteristics of that makes somebody successful is, you know, just being okay with that. Like, hey, I'm a 60% loser. That's what happens when I do my job. I lose 60% of the time. Also, like how many days in a row, like can your strategy go into drawdown?
Yeah.
And like, what do you do during that? Like there's a strategy that I trade mostly automated that waits for like open drives and pullbacks into them. Mm-hmm. And it does really poorly when the higher time frame trend is in a transition. And so it was doing very poorly like March. And that was that like shift to this, like whatever it was, like a four week long bear market. And then boom, as soon as the trend broke and then it V bottomed, this thing has just been crushing. But I knew when we were sitting up in this, like, you know, weeks long distribution, that this strategy was not going to do well. So I knew I was going to go from, you know, roughly, it's like a 54-ish percent winner. I knew I was going to go from a 54% winner or a 46% loser to probably like a 60% loser. And I, like, you have to adjust to that. So it's also knowing, like, this thing might lose every day for 2 weeks. So I can either A, not trade it, B, size it down, or C, you know, just continue to let the stats play out and just kind of be comfortable with it. Like, you have to know what's coming in your strategy. Like, what are your stats? Like, what are your personal stats on it too? Let alone like the stats of your setup and stuff like that. Like, what is your performance-based stats and how comfortable are you with those? And can you sit in it? Like, to your point, like earlier, do you even like this trade? Do you like the performance of this world I've built around this, right? Like, my setup only happens 0.8 times a day. Okay, so are you comfortable sitting on your hands most of the day? Right. Or does my setup work across a bunch of different markets? So, you know, can I trade it in oil? Can I trade it in, you know, commodities markets? So that now, instead of just watching NQ, hoping that 0.8 times a day your setup hits and it was a winner 36% of the time for a 3-to-1 R, and you realize you're, you know, whatever, you're, you know, 8% equity that you get, that could be a long stretch of shitty emotional losses in a trade watching one market. And that's if you saw it and entered it correctly and executed correctly. But, you know, again, okay, I can't do that, but I do like this trade. Go see if it works in other markets. Now your 0.8 is multiplied by 5 or 6 markets that you're trading, and you have maybe 4 opportunities a day. Mm-hmm. And you might miss one, but you might catch the other 3. One might be a winner, 2 might be a loser. And now you have a day that you're comfortable with because, you know, maybe on your, you know, average days of your scratch, on your good days, you have like 3 or 4 trades that all win and you feel really good about it. And, you know, again, like, it's about building something that you can sit in and be comfortable with. But all those things need to be factored in that aren't, maybe they're meant to some, right? Like, they weren't glaringly obvious to me, you know, until you really started diving into some of that stuff.
I've heard you guys talk about this so much, the more markets, too many times now. I need to just bite the bullet and go learn how to trade Dow and CL and some of these other ones. Because I feel like getting those extra opportunities would really help me a lot with my trading.
It might.
I have another window open with, you know, now that Banks has been on about that for a while. So I have gold, oil, ES, YM, and
copper, natural
UB.
Gas.
No, UB. I am not trading nat gas with him. He can enjoy Robbie all to himself.
Right.
But it's not that I would primarily like to trade NQ if the opportunities are there, because NQ's expansion, the number of points it moves, the nuance of that market. But there was a day this week where, like, my better trade was on YM, which is, like, I'm not normally trading that, but the opportunity was there. And I was like, oh, well, you know, this is in no man's land, and this is in where I would take a trade. So I'm just going to take that trade. And I think something about that, even, like, if I have the standard for what I want to see.
Sorry, producer said ES is boring. Okay, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, it's not he's wrong. Right.
6-point range.
Yeah, it can be tough. But it's like, if I have clearly defined what the high standard is that I need to see from the market, I can apply that high standard, you know, across the board. If you've, you know, done the testing to make sure that, you know, it makes sense or whatever. So for me, the comment about, like, the expectancy, or you get 0.8 trades a day with this idea or whatever, I think where I have also made some good steps forward is just kind of being aware of that and being okay with, like, maybe I have to wait around till 11:30 before, or maybe it's 1 o'clock or whatever, you know, before, before I'm at least going to get a look at an opportunity that I want to see, you know? And the fun thing was, what day was that? Thursday?
Not unless it was a short.
Yes, it was. It was. So I was, I shorted pre-market on Thursday, closed it out way early, obviously. That bought me some finder fees, right? So that trade afforded me the chance to pay small to find out on a couple of setups through the mid-morning that were okay, nothing super amazing, but they were good enough to, with the padding, to feel like, hey, I can give this a little whirl. We talked at like in Banton, and I was like, you know, it may be that a better trade comes closer into lunch and maybe after that, like 1 o'clock or after, at least after 12, we could actually get a good look. And so I think we were still on voice there at that point when that trade started to set up, actually talking through the setup that was happening. And that like 15 to 28 range, I was like digging for some shorts in there. And knowing that if there was going to be a second leg down, I just like my work says like that's when it's going to come from. And if it doesn't come from right there, then it's probably going to be, it's going to be a little bit later before I get the look I want. I was super proud about Thursday because I knew that anything between anything in the middle was not going to be as great. And I traded it sized accordingly to allow for that opportunity to still be realistic for me to take with a clear mind and without, you know, being like, oh, whatever. and so you do just have to get accustomed to when, you know, how often is this what you're looking for going to appear, and hold the market to that standard and hold yourself to that standard, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And be comfortable with the trade. Like I'm looking at the comments, 2 years comments. Like, I don't know how people are patient. If I go more than 2 minutes without being in a trade, I'm jonesing. Just build a scalping strategy, right? Or have enough setups that like go with your scalping strategy that you can, you know, whatever, get in some trades or have enough markets that you look at so that you're always, you know, in some sort of like mode with the trade on. But, you know, you have to sort of build this thing to, you know, something that you're comfortable with, because you, like you said, you have to hold yourself to that standard as well, as the market, as your setup. So
yeah, if you're real risk averse, then maybe you don't want to be trading with wide stops and trying to, you know, hold for outsized moves. Maybe you want to look for something a little more precise. Yeah.
And the other interesting thing is with regard to like when you're talking about build a strategy around that, whatever, people talk about FOMO, right? And I think for me, I think I do have pretty strong FOMO, but it is the fear of missing out on the one that I have stalked.
Yeah.
And so if I take all this random wiggles of the market and I lower my standards and I take a stop and another stop and another stop and another stop and another stop and size up and take another stop, not holding myself or the market to the standard, then I will definitely miss out when A plus shows up, because I've expired my designated finder's fees for the day, and I've expired my mental, like my ability to be focused and trade like to my potential, like I'm depleted. And so the goal of being a part of the great trade and knowing what that is has alleviated some of that for me. Because I know if I spend it over here, I don't get a chance to spend it on that. And I'd rather buy that than buy this. And so I do have fear of missing out. It's huge, but it's the right kind. It's missing the one that I've worked so hard to identify.
Well, there's like sticking around too. Thursday is a great example. Like, dude, we were like at all-time highs on a gap on NVIDIA earnings. Like, I was like, fuck this. I'm not trading this shit. Like, I have, like, there's no resistance. Like, support is like 200 points below us. Like, what am I going to do up here? Like, yeah, okay, great. There's some things that you know, whatever. I'm sure people have setups. I don't. Like, I, there's there's no historical delta to lean against. All you have is sort of like, what is the market going to give you on the open? And I literally said, there's only going to be two trades here. It's if we just go down far enough that we hit a support level I believe in, or if the opening range is a straight up no tick one direction or the other, you could potentially take it. I missed the opening range short, but just sat around and sat around. I actually traded UB and CL because they're not sitting, you know, with blue skies, like somewhere where right. I can actually find something to lean against or like where I have setups that I'm confident in. So in the morning I was trading those two products and I watched this thing drop and then it did the V 100 points up. And then it kind of came back down again. And I remember I was chatting with the guys. They go, because they were all trying to long it after, you know, a few successful longs. And it was classic trend day. No tick 30-second OR. Couldn't get through dev mid. Couldn't get through RTH VWAP. There was a huge LVN and a two distributions, like, above the opening range. And then, like, right at – in that LVN was – developing mid, RTH VWAP, like the 144 moving average, all of it was sitting right in there. I was like, you can short this right here. It was like 9:14, 9:30-ish area. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just short this and put your stop up in this upper distribution. Give it enough room. And, man, that was a 300-point trade almost. I mean, it was a 300-point trade. It went 300 points.
Yeah, I was a little tighter on my stops with that.
But it's it's to say that, like, you can have FOMO on it, but like, there's also this piece of like knowing when to, what do you always say, Baba, lean forward in your chair. Like,
yeah,
it's like when to stick around. Cause I like to be in and out, right? Like, I don't like sitting around. If the setups don't like develop in the first like hour and a half, 2 hours of the day, I'll usually just take what it gives me and I'll check back or I'll set some alerts or whatever. But that was a day, the Arvol was super high. The volume was super high. I think it was like one of the third highest trading days in the last several years in NQ. You can kind of see it, right? Like, you could see the boys were hanging out on Thursday, right? Like, and also, you know, we're on this massive gap up. I think the Leroy setup was like a 200-point Leroy. NVIDIA's trading above 1,000 points. Like, fucking stick around that day, right? Like, wait. The opportunity is going to present itself. Like, whether or not you hit the open – and you had, you know, 5 points of risk that turned into a 350-point trade, that's great. I'm sure there was a lot of people, Baba, you know, like that got that reversal overnight. I saw it. I sat there and went, man, that looks like a hell of a trade. But I ain't taking it.
I saw it and said, are they going to make it this easy?
I saw this, and I ain't fucking taking it. I said,
you know what? If they make it that easy, then I will – pay a little, find out.
Oh, man. But yeah, again, I think it's like another characteristic of that is like knowing when to stick around, knowing when to be patient enough to realize that there will be another opportunity. It's just wait for something that you know to occur on a day like Thursday, on a day like today, where they can't get, you know, they can't buy a 30-point pullback. You know, just find an opportunity. Thursday, much trickier, right? I mean, you got 150-point rotations this way, that way, the other way. You got, Wednesday, FOMC notes, and you have, NVIDIA earnings, and, you know, all these, like, reversals and V-bottoms. The one-hour trend shifted, like, 6 times this week, maybe more. So you got to be sort of, like, acclimated to what does that feel like. Oh, when should you stick around or when should you just watch? Like, to some people, that might be a day to be like, not for me. Like, you know, my morning was like, not for me. I ain't trading up here. Like, I just know I don't have edge up here. And once they dropped it 150 points and created these distributions and all the characteristics of a trend day down were there and we're sitting at a, you know, a trap zone at VWAP in the middle of an LVN. Yeah, I'll fuck click in here, give it 20 points and see what happens. 300 points later. And I think it dropped 100 points in like 5 minutes, just right after that too. So, you know, again, but it's like about just being patient to some extent, to being able to identify when a day is for you, when it's not for you, or when you should stick around long enough to find out. Another great characteristic of kind of what it takes to sort of be, you know, whatever, quote unquote, successful, or like find your way to it. It's just another quiver to sort of like have in this like whole deal that you're going to try to put together. And, you know, again, this week has been full of those type of opportunities. All-time high trading fucking sucks, dude. I can't stand it. Can't stand it. But you know there's going to be good trades, right? So, you know, you got to kind of stick around. You know, take it, you know, take what you can get and you know, squirrel it away.
Squirrel. Know when to walk away.
Yes, sir.
All right. Should we just wrap this thing up, call it a day? Or?
Yeah, it's a good combo. I feel like we did produce some good justice there.
Yeah,
Purdue was blowing up the chat too. It's some great stuff. Let's get him back in here. Maybe I'll do this one again.
Yeah, I think I would love to maybe get a list of those characteristics just to, you know, I'm sure that we could pare it down to a handful of big pieces to the puzzle, you know, like we tried to do that on our trader eval, you know, try to address here's the big key pieces that we want to know about your trading, because these are the areas we experience challenge in. So we want you to think about it and give us, you know, your information about it. But I wonder if something like a little more formal of a thing would be something fun to work on together in an off time.
I kind of would like to get you and Andrew on the mic together to kind of talk about the different processes, because you have the evals that you and Banks put together and he has his own version, but it's more for like understanding. He calls it parts work. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's like the different parts of you that make up your team. Like who's your risk manager? Who's your, like for me, I have a fuck the rules guy that lives inside of me that wants to say, like, if I try to stay disciplined for too long, he's just going to throw the shackles off one of these days and burn everything to the fucking ground. So I have to be really aware of this guy, and I have to find, like, it's all about finding places where the different parts of you can be put into a position to succeed. When should I be putting my risk manager hat on and letting him take the reins? When should I let the innovator who likes to tinker a little bit, like, okay, you've got a zone here, like find an entry. Mm-hmm. You can do that. So I, there's some really cool stuff with that parts work, and
yeah, it's interesting.
I would love to just kind of hear you and him maybe chew the fat on that.
Yeah,
chew the fat. I like that.
Yeah.
One last thing here, I think that we didn't discuss before we close, is some people are just fucking naturally talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think it should, you know, be completely dismissed that like some people can just sit down and look at a DOM, look at a chart, get risk. All of these like things that certain people, you know, ask me how I know, would struggle with, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a demon for me, just is natural talent for someone else. And there's, dude, I've seen some people that are just like really good without doing a ton of this other stuff. They just have a feel for the ebbs and flows of a market. They're comfortable with their risk, with the fear, like, and they just have it. And there's like some intangible piece too that maybe is woven into that, you know, can you learn it? Can you, you know, try to osmosis, like hang out near somebody who has it? I don't know. But there's definitely this like raw talent piece. You know, you see it in sports all the time, like just raw talent. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely the, you know, the trader's version of raw talent as well that is out there.
I think the important thing is that to not judge yourself against other people. Like you got to judge yourself on yourself and your progress, because if you're constantly comparing yourself to the other people that you're hanging around or trying to learn from, you're just going to frustrate yourself.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Yep.
Let's see what's going on. Oh, fucking Mavericks won by one. Sorry, Flurry. All right. I think we'll just wrap this thing up. What do you guys say?
Yeah, man.
We'll get started on our 3-day weekend.
3-day weekend. Cheers. You quit
the poker tonight or what?
Yeah, Banks said he'd jump in too if we message him, but I don't know if that's still true. Yeah, anybody in the chat sticking around, if you want to jump in, do we have a Discord link?
I think you should be able to just click on the...
Let me pull that up here before I sign this thing off. Yeah, throw that in the chat. All right, if you guys want to play poker, jump on in. All right, folks, but I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Let's say thank you to Baba Yaga and Flary for jumping in for Purdue tonight. Everyone listening who stuck around to the end, remember to show our panelists some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Remember to check out that combined Discord server where you can trade with us on Friday end periods or participate in the bi-weekly strategy development call. Next one is on Tuesday. Be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully more memorable than your weekend. But until then, hug a vet while whispering Band of Traders podcast in his ear while you do, and you'll have a great week.
Later.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.